We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And welcome to Light Years. What a great show to start the new year on, Andy. What a great game. 2022, we appreciate every one of you who has been listening and coming in. This is the best way to start the new year. I thought that was an excellent first game.
I don't get any better than that. I did not think they were going to win this game, especially without Draymond. And this was the best game that they played off. This and the Suns, best game that they played all season. This was fantastic, wire to wire. The third quarter there for about 6-7 minutes was tough, but they're playing a very good Utah Jazz team, Sam. That's what happens. Things get tough. And they showed that in the fourth quarter when it's winning time. They allowed 20 points just without Draymond against a team that's elite offensively, right, especially in the regular season. Just, man, I just the first or second best game of the season, and to start off the year like this is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, Fitz was throwing it on the call, and it's fair, and, like, Maybe we'll ask callers this or the Suns game was which did you think was the better win? But, like, the sheer fact, like, you know, top five win of the season, no Draymond. I think you're summing it up. Like, I didn't think they could play 48 minutes of defense like this against the number one ranked offense in the NBA without Draymond Green. Was it as good as it would be with Draymond? Of course not. But, like, they locked in. They actually went through some adversity. That third quarter, I thought they were going to collapse right there. I don't want to say they weren't going to collapse. I just thought between the officiating and, you know,
Jazz made shots. Jazz made big shots, and they locked up. They're a good team.
Yeah. I mean, I think this was – I think, gun to my head, Christmas still the best win of the season, but this one – very, very impressive, and I'm very happy to start 2022 with a game like this.
This was one of those games, I think, people talk about this, I think. I remember the first time I saw a Bay Area team win a championship, the 2010 Giants, they wrote a book on them. And every time some team wins a championship, they write a book. This is going in the book. This game right here, right? Like, of those, like, top five regular season games that they write about, this is the one. I mean, they had the week off with what happened in Denver, right? They kind of got screwed. And then they come out here after playing like shit against Denver at home, and they play amazing in the first half. They get hit in the face a little bit. They didn't get hit in the face like this against Phoenix, right? Phoenix came back a little bit, and that was a tough game, but they got smacked today. They went from up 16 to down 5 in like 4 minutes.
Utah in the third quarter just was like, hey guys, we're not a bad team. They were those are very demoralizing runs, by the way. Like,
it's a Warriors type of run.
That's what they were just Warriors couldn't hit a shot, and that part of that was on Utah, and then Utah was just hitting everything there. And that's what Utah is. Like, they are one of the most explosive teams in the NBA. Donovan Mitchell, Mike Conley did not have good games, but general, they can light it up with anyone. And that has to do with their depth. You know, like, tonight was a Jordan Clarkson game, right? Like, he got very hot for them in that third quarter. And you're like, this dude, really? Like, what do you want me to do here? But let's talk about the Warriors here, because, like, there's a lot of interesting things to get into. And I want to start with light years. What's the right word? Hey, like light years correspondent. Uh-oh. Otto Porter.
Uh-oh.
Huge game for Otto. If I told you a player on the Warriors went for 20 points, 9 for 14 from the field, 8 assists, 7 rebounds, who'd you guess that player is?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I mean, that's I would think that's Steph Curry.
Okay. Not Otto Porter?
Not, maybe 4th on the list. I would think Andrew Wiggins, who also had a good game. I'll get to him later, before Otto Porter. 8 assists. Wow.
Just, I mean, look, wow, man. Everyone who listens to this show knows I'm like Team Otto. I was on the Otto bandwagon when he was in Orlando looking kind of washed out of the league. I thought he had something left. I'd be lying to you if I said I ever thought he'd get to this level again. You know, I thought he'd be a sneaky good pickup who could help a team out. Filling in for Draymond while still doing the things he does in terms of shot making. I mean, he's starting to price himself out of the Warriors range to stay with the team. Actually.
No, yeah.
But I think he's, I mean, he's just, I'll let you go in.
I sneak little secret, Sam. He's a great fit as the four next to Kevon Looney.
Yeah.
Right. It's a great fit because he's a shooter and it works when you've got a defensive minded center next to you. Whereas it's a little tougher when you've got two defensive minded guys and the Otto's playing the three. Right. So little dirty secret there. But I mean, he's a great passer. He's a great scorer. He had a little off the dribble game. That's the stuff tonight I think was huge, is he made shots that we expect Andrew Wiggins to make. Andrew Wiggins is number one overall pick. He's off the dribble type of guy. He makes those tough shots. Otto Porter tonight made those type of shots off the dribble that you're like, ooh, is this Washington Wizards Otto Porter, right? Is this Georgetown Otto Porter where he's hitting shots? Did you see the one there in the fourth quarter near the end where he does a little shoulder into the guy and then steps back and gives him, yes, a little dirt fadeaway? And I'm just like, what is going on?
I appreciate the Dirk reference because that's what I thought of in the moment. I'm like, come on, man. You just like bump fade from 12. Like, what are we doing here, Otto? You know, but like, I mean, I think this actually speaks to kind of the market inefficiency in the NBA right now. Right. Like, cause like everyone in the NBA has to be either, you know, like a high pick and roll ball handler or like a spot up shooter. Right. And Otto is kind of one of those guys who, one, he can shoot it from everyone on the floor, but two, he's got kind of like an in-between game. Like he's not a playmaker per se, but he's also like more qualified than just a guy to stand in the corner. And I just feel like his skill set gets lost on other teams who don't play more of a complete offense like the Warriors. And so seeing him with the Warriors, like, yeah, I figured he'd fit, but like, it kind of like you see, like,
ooh, I like that point.
Maybe you shouldn't like box him in. Like, I thought he'd be a guy who could like help them out a little bit, but it's like when you play this kind of offense, like, what really is the limit for Otto Porter?
Oh, I like this. I like this. And you've talked about this a little bit. I've seen your kind of in group chats and texts, you've brought this up. I think this goes for GP too. I think this goes for Wiggins a little bit. They maximize him because I think the way that Steph, Draymond, and Steve Kerr's system works. And because they allow people. Now, some of the times, you know, if you'll have 17 turnovers a game and things will get ugly for a little bit. But if you're as smart as Otto Porter,
sometimes you'll see Smilegeach try to take a player off dribble, you know, like maybe he needs to stand in the corner,
well,
you know?
actually Bielitsa, that's actually the thing. Is sometimes you see Bell a little bit too much, right? Like, that's actually the issue. But for someone like who's Otto Porter, who's extremely intelligent, like, if you're just going to pigeonhole him to shooting threes from the corner, right, and just kind of be a big guy that rebounds a little bit, that's not going to maximize the way that, like, who he is. It's just not. If he was on the Brooklyn Nets right now, he would be incredible. He would be awesome, but he wouldn't be playing like the way he does right now. So I think that's a great point. And Otto Porter should be closing, right? Andre Iguodala was great tonight, ended up only closing because Looney was out. Otto Porter's closing games right now over pretty much anyone else. He's in crunch time lineups.
Yeah, I agree with you. And like the other point to bring on this is like, okay, we all know Otto can shoot. He looks great physically, right? Like, he looks probably as good as he's looked since his Wizards days. And it's showing in his all-around game, and it's just like, what a steal of a player for the Warriors, because he's just a perfect fit. So let's keep going down the line. Let's get to Wiggins. Wiggins, I think, was the second biggest story of the game.
Yeah. To me, he was actually the biggest. I know you love OPJ. Actually, I do too. But I actually think you love Otto Porter more than I do. So I gotta relent on that one.
It's okay. I'll agree with you.
You caught the Otto five stuff. But Andrew Wiggins, I thought tonight was spectacular. He hit a now he's not gonna do this consistently because nobody does except for Steph and KD. But had an in transition pull crossover step back three and one gets the call, and I'm just standing there like, man, I haven't seen that since obviously Steph, but Kevin Durant as a wing guy on this team. So he also took over in the fourth quarter. Steph at nine at the end of the game, but he also had a pull up jump shot, a three, and then an and one there. So he had seven in a row. In a stretch where they needed to score. Just Andrew Wiggins looks incredible these last few months. He was out due to COVID protocols, but he's come back like he's not missed a step, Sam. I mean, this is the guy that they need in these type of games. I made a joke in the beginning of the season kind of saying, like, hey, maybe they can close without him if he's not making shots. But right now, him and Otto Porter, they need to be closing every game. They need to be closing every game with the way that they can score, because the Jazz threw three at Steph tonight, and those guys got nothing but open shots and ISO situations.
I think my favorite thing about Wiggins is he keeps improving at playing off of Steph every game. Like in Minnesota, what made Wiggins infuriating was he tried to be they wanted him to be like the primary playmaker, and that's just not who he is, right?
Nope.
But now if he has a direct role where it's like one move and go, you know, like keep it simple, because he's a phenomenal athlete, and he low-key a phenomenal shooter if he's set, right? So, like, in my opinion, it's just like he knows he's – every game he's getting better at playing off of Steph, and it just – how many – forget the catch and shoots, but the – you know, they throw three bodies at Steph, so he kicks it to one guy who kicks it to Wiggins cutting, and all Wiggins has to do is one dribble and finish. And those are the things where it's like, all right, it's a simple play, but, like, it's only a simple play because he's 6'8", super athletic, right? Like for anyone else, that's kind of a complicated finish. Right?
I mean, even Andre doesn't do it, right? Remember when Andre's in the dunker spot, like he's not taking that shot. Now, actually, we'll get to Andre tonight and what he did, but Wiggins tonight is one of those things where sometimes you need a guy. We just talked about Otto Porter with a step back mid range to get those twos, and they're not great shots. But with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter and you're down by 4 points, like that, if that's all you get, you need to make those shots. He's kind of that only guy that could do it on this team right now, him and Otto Porter. And then when Clay gets back, he'll be able to do it, because teams are just wiping Steph off the floor the moment he crosses half court. Sam, like we talk about this too much. We don't need to bring it up today. It's ridiculous.
And I was going to say, I think the thing that's most exciting about Wiggins is it feels sustainable because he's playing with I don't want to say confidence, but it's just kind of like he knows exactly what to do when teams throw three bodies at Steph. He's like, you're going to throw three at him. I'm going to go with one move, decisive finish, instead of trying to overcomplicate this thing. And I think that's the biggest thing, because it's like, you know, like we may get a game later this year where they throw so many bodies at Steph, Wiggins gets 40 on 15 shots or something ridiculous like that. And it's like, you know what? Who cares? Steph's the first person who's cheering that on, right? So I think they'll look great. But let's talk about Steph real quick. By the way, only Steph Curry can go for 28-9-6 and us be like, yeah, well, there's more exciting stories than this.
Exactly. But Warrior shot 17 from 32 from three, by the way. Just after what they did last time against the Jazz, or against the Nuggets, thank goodness. Steph was he shot 50% from three from the field, 6 for 12 from three. But I talked about this earlier. It is crazy to see defenses to play that the way that they're playing him right now. He's not every time he gets an open look, it's like it's a miracle. Sam is the way it's doing. It's the way it's looking. But at the end of the game, I think what's most important is he had that mid-range jumper over Rudy Gobert. He's actually shooting the mid-range jumper now instead of kind of just chasing threes or layups. So that was cool to see. And I think that kind of shows you that in crunch time of a postseason series, Rudy Gobert is amazing, but I think that the Warriors enjoy that matchup.
Yeah, I was going to say there's two thoughts on that one. One, we had a bunch of callers in December be like, oh, Steph won't take the mid-range shot. And I'm like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm not really going to concern myself with that until we get to playoff games, because I just don't believe Steph won't adjust when the games matter.
And shocking, like, he can make them. Shocking.
Yeah. I just feel like he was messing around a little bit. It was a little of like, let me experiment. It's December 12th type of stuff. And I'm trying to get a record, by the way, too. You know, like that sort of stuff. But like, I'm not that concerned about it. The second thing is, how excited do you think he is to have Klay Thompson back? And just kind of like, they're still going to throw multiple bodies at him, but like, it's starting to get to a point where it's like, come on, man. I'd like there to be someone else on this team who makes the defense commit a second and third body to, you know? That's like the thing I'm seeing, where it's just like a little fatigue and like just ready to have a little support there, because like Steph can play like this and be super impactful, but like it's time. It's time.
You get that feeling from him running around watching him.
Yeah.
I think I get this. I agree. I didn't think about that. But he is a little he does seem a little exasperated out there. And the thing is, he still had 28 tonight. He still hit the biggest shot of the game with that 3-point. By the way, that 3-point shot that he had, a possession before, he did the same thing. And I believe it was either Andrew, I don't know if it was Wiggins, actually. It might have been GP2 who didn't see him coming back around for the for Steph relocation. And then two plays later, he does it. GP2 has an open three, sort of. He passes it to OBJ at the top. And then I keep saying OBJ like Odell Beckham. But then Steph relocates and gets that shot at the wing. But and that's the shot where it's like, yeah, that's the one right there. That's the one that Steph works for all game long. But I think you're right. I think he is a little tired of, yeah, I'm just not gonna force shooting it 30 times a game, because it's just tiring, right? He's the only guy that sees triple teams 48 minutes. Oh man.
I just don't think anything else on the Warriors team matters without Steph Curry. That simple. It's like we wax poetic about Wiggins. And don't get me wrong, Wiggins has played phenomenal and the catch and shoot stuff is amazing. But none of that happens without the attention Steph gets. Otto Porter Jr., I mean, he's hit shots on every team he's been on. Like, he's a big time shot maker, right? He hasn't mattered on any other team than the Warriors team. Gary Payton II was in the G League. I mean, Andre Iguodala, we don't need to talk. By the way, Iggy has to be, like, I mean, shout out our guy Max Kellerman. If
the three matters, he's just the king of the bullshit three, right?
Look, I don't think he's making any three in quarters 1-3. But then when the four, it's kind of like Draymond too, though. It's just when the fourth quarter comes, we've just seen him do it so many times where the shot goes up, the shots, their shooting form is pretty ugly, both Iguodala and Draymond. But you kind of just feel like, yeah, it's going in. It's going in. I don't know why, but it's going in.
Oh, it's game six of an elimination series. Andre's good for five. You know, it's like that sort of stuff.
By the way, I feel like Gary Payton has that kind of vibe to him too. He was incredible tonight, I thought. And it just feels like he's someone that's going to make those big threes in those moments if he gets to play. Probably not, because this team is so deep. They have so many good players, but he feels like someone too. Except Gary Payton's shot is actually nice compared to the other guy. But Andre Iguodala, just one of those – his off the three miss dunk that he had, I was like, ooh, maybe he should just rest a week after every time he plays two straight games in a row, because it looks incredible every time he gets a week off. But I guess that's what happens when you're 38.
Yeah. Our guy Andre, you know, he's gonna have to figure it out. But
knee soreness come tomorrow morning, I guarantee you. Guarantee.
Yeah. What are the odds he's playing the Miami game on Monday?
Well, it looks like Draymond might be back, so maybe they won't need him.
DNP rest.
He won't be playing. No chance.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, you want to get to the goons?
Let's get to the goons.
Mikus. Happy New Year's, Mike Mikus.
Happy New Year's to my favorite pod boys. Respect to you guys. Respect. You guys are going to be killing it going into 2022. I'm sensing it. I think it's going to be a good year. We're going to see Steph lock up an MVP. Dre get a DPOY, win another chip. You know, the start of the pod when Sam was talking shit about all the people. But this is how you know, all through the dynasty era, Andy was always the one, the cocky guy on Twitter, the annoying one. But you know, we're really back when Sam started to be on that arrogant shit again. It's arrogant season again, guys, and that's I love it. I'm here for it. So happy New Year. I'm gonna do a little. You know, I'm a Discord guy. I'm allowed to do this. I'm gonna plug if you guys want to catch some good LeBron James slander. First paragraph of my latest blog. Ranking all the movies of 2021. Yeah. Mike Mikus blog or MMikus18 on Twitter. You'll see some fucking Space Jam 2 LeBron James slander. I do note that his acting is not that good, despite what the flopping on the court may indicate. It is not good. So just letting you guys know that. Anyway, I'm going to get to my questions. You guys kind of started to do it, but I'm curious. I think Kerr coached his ass off tonight. I think it's one of the best wins of the season. I think I'd probably go this, the Suns, the Nets. We beat all of the best teams on their own floor. If you guys haven't noticed yet, we beat the Nets. The Lakers are not one of the best teams. They actually suck. But we beat them opening night in L.A., beat the Suns in
They got like 18 top 75 players of all time. They're great.
Well, no, you're right. My bad. Sorry. But we beat in all of the best teams on the road, and I think that really bodes well for our playoff success. But I think Kerr coached just a masterful game. How would you rank these four people? Tonight's performance. Steve Kerr. Our guy, who I think is actually having one of the two best seasons of his life, Stephen Curry. Possibly my Eskimo brother, Otto Porter Jr.
Oh, boy.
And the man who I'm going to, I think, successfully get an all-star nod from what I started in this Discord, Andrew Wiggins. How would you rank those people 1-4 tonight? And then lastly, how much better can this team be with Clay? Like, I'm watching this right now with our depth, and I think with Clay back, if he's 80%, I think we're going to be as good, if not better, than the KD years. I really do. So, what do you guys
think?
Happy New Year's, boys. Keep doing the good work, and let's go.
I appreciate it, Mikus.
If not the best, actually.
By the way, we didn't mention Steve Kerr because it's been a Steve Kerr love fest all season. Phenomenal coached game tonight, right?
Steve Kerr's a defensive coach. I think is what people forget. Actually, I forget myself, because he came in with the way that he changed the offensive scheme. But what he does is he's golden defensively. The stuff that he throws out, to Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley tonight, you brought up earlier. Donovan Mitchell, outside of the foul grifting, was completely locked down. And, you know, part of that is Gary Payton. But I think some of the stuff is like Steve Kerr has bet on Kevon Looney this season, and Kevon Looney has been special on defense. He's bet on guys like JTA, GP2, Jonathan Kuminga. We didn't talk about him tonight, but he was great the minutes that he played on Jordan Clarkson, right? Maybe he shouldn't even have been taken out at the end there. But I think Steve Kerr, probably four if I were to rank him on what's most important, because I always feel like the guys that are playing on the court are probably more important.
I always have a hard time with like ranking coach versus player, because like, Coach can have the greatest game plan ever, but the player has to execute it, right?
Especially for a veteran team like this. I mean, like, what Steph is doing out there offensively in terms of what he does to the offense and the open shots, like, that's not anything to do with Steve. But no, incredible stuff by Steve, I think, so far this season. You want to rank him 1-4?
I don't even care to rank him. I think they're all doing phenomenal.
I think
Steph has to be number one.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in some sort of like, you know, any other way than nothing. Like, Steve has devised the scheme around Steph, right? Like, it starts there. It starts there. And then, you know, Otto plays off of him, but Wiggins plays off of him. So, you know, Steph has to be the demigod among everyone else.
And then it goes from there, right?
Like, I don't know. You can make Steve Kerr the MVP of every game, because the scheme is his idea. It's based off of them. So it's, I don't know. It's, you know, you can go any direction on it.
By the way, we forgot to mention, I mean, Otto Porter's defense is incredible. Now, Andrew Wiggins' defense, I mean, there's a reason why Conley and Donovan Mitchell didn't shoot well, right? Two-way Wiggs. So, I lost my train of thought, what I was going to say. But those two guys, I'll probably go Steph top, and then Wiggins, Porter in some order, and then Steve. And then what was the other question? I forgot now. I think that's it. We're gonna keep moving. Ryan's coming.
Keep moving.
What's up, man? Keep
it rocking. Hey, what's up? Game on. Family over in the background, so kind of had to keep it down. But what's it called? Wiggins tonight was. I loved the first half. It was extremely assertive, and then I think the second half is more so him getting back his legs under him, not having played basketball. But it's been really encouraging. Just the team. Wiggins looks like a legit shooter. Like, I'm doing the Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, hold my hand up for three thing with Andrew Wiggins, which I never thought I'd get to that point, but I'm at that point. So I'm just really enjoying this team, and we're 5-1 against the Suns, the Jazz, the Nets, and the Bulls. So just beating good teams consistently. Steve Kerr has got to be the favorite coach of the year at this point. I don't know what you guys think on that. I'd like your thoughts on that. But to me, it's clear that it's Coach Kerr. Know your coach.
I agree with you, Ryan. Who else would even be in the running for Coach of the Year? Monty Williams is. Monty has a legitimate case, but like, if the season ended today, it has to be Steve Kerr, right?
Monty would. Chicago is first in the East.
Shout out Billy Donovan.
By the way, that'd be another. Doesn't he have like already two?
Billy's never got one.
Oh, he's never got one. Probably Steve. I mean, they're going to
see. I think he's got some college ones, but.
Shouts to Joe.
Shouts to Florida, baby.
Yeah, shouts to Joe.
Oh, yeah. McGoy in the mentions JB Bickerstaff with the Cavs. He definitely deserves, like, the Cavs are the surprise darling of the season, right?
So they deserve. Yeah, but usually, it's probably going to be Steve, huh? Wow. Good for Steve.
Well, I think we named it all. It's Monty Williams, it's Steve Kerr, it's Billy Donovan. Mention.
Taylor Jenkins, maybe.
And Taylor Jenkins is a good mention. And then it's Bickerstaff in Cleveland. So in my opinion, it should be Steve Kerr. But, you know, are you guys shocked that the show thinks of Steve? So
Bruce Frazier, maybe.
It's
up there.
I don't know. The funny thing about Coach of the Year is I think that one actually you have to wait till the end of the year. Like, if Cleveland gets through the Rubio injury and they end up winning 52 games, like, Bickerstaff's going to get.
Oh, my God. Right? Yeah, like, 52 you know what I mean? Games. Oh, my
it
God.
It doesn't matter that, like, you know, someone can point to
some death like coaching wins over replacement. Like it's going to go to him. But like right now, yeah, I do think Steve probably deserves it more than anyone.
Yeah. Right now, yeah, Steve.
Especially with Kenny on the sideline, you know?
Yeah, they had nobody on the sidelines again today. So we'll see.
Yeah, good. It's our guy.
Hey, yo, what's up, guys?
So, McWalters, how you doing, bud?
Hey, man, all's good. Hey, man, I'm going to go Danny Green. The Utah Jazz were the team they thought they were. They are freaking fraud. They are awful. Gobert can't guard on the perimeter. He's totally exposed. I mean, Steph even hit one at the top of the key in his face or his away face because he won't guard him because he's awful. I don't see how he got so many darn Defensive Player of the Year awards. It's completely mind-boggling. But, I mean, they're a candidate to be knocked out in the first round. If they play Memphis in the first round, they're gone. Like, we won't even see them in the playoffs. They're awful. This game just cemented that. How do they blow that after coming back from so much at home? How do they blow that? It's just inconceivable that they would be a contender unless they make some type of miraculous move, which I don't think, you know, the Church of Latter-day Saints will pull off for them. So I'm really not worried about that. This was a great game to see Steph shooting around there. Otto, awesome. You know, just good all the way around. And I want to say, hey, guys, you guys are the best. Happy New Year's. Let's rock 2022, you know, and let's get another ring for Steph.
Appreciate it, McWalters. That's a spicy call. Andy, let me ask you this. I have a question for you. Rank, I think we're in alignment that the teams that scare us the most are in the East, like the Bucks.
Yes,
and the
yes, yes, yes.
If you were to rank teams in the West by scariness factor, where do the Jazz come in? Give me the mental count. Like you're like first in the Suns. Like you know,
So I think their issue is Donovan Mitchell is their issue. I know you brought this up a few times, but Suns are the first one. Though I don't think they're that much of an issue. The first one, Memphis and Utah, I think are in the same tier for me. They're tough. I think Memphis a little bit young. I think Jazz have more experience, but I think they have an issue where they might not be able to score on this team consistently because Donovan Mitchell can actually score against. I think Devin Booker might have that issue too. But anyway, so I think they're in that second tier, and then after that, I mean, I'll throw the Lakers in there, Sam, just because it's LeBron. So I think just outside of that, though, I don't think anybody else really does scare me. I can't think of a team right now, so that's how I would tear it out.
I'm with you with the Lakers. Like, I don't think this Laker team scares me, but you know, they're always LeBron's always a you know send someone off to.
He looks good right now.
He looks amazing. Trade someone away, and then you know,
yeah.
Who knows who's on the roster? All right, let's keep moving.
But do you agree, kind of in that tier? Do you have the Suns at the top too? I'm not so scared of them, but I do think they're really good.
They're solid, man. They're just a solid team.
I was actually surprised. I just think the Warriors' defense is so ridiculous. I mean, they can make Donovan Mitchell and Devin Booker look this bad back-to-back. Ooh. Woo.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Dennis, what's up, man?
Happy New Year, guys.
There we go.
Happy Hell New yeah. Year, Dennis.
Always great to hear from you guys. I think just to pick up on what you're saying about the teams you're probably most worried about in the East. I think the last few games we've played against the Suns, even against Denver, just how we keep stepping up, especially defensively, it's giving me confidence that we can figure out, like, this team will fight for 48 minutes. And I really, actually, the only team I'm quite worried about is the Bucks, because Giannis is just a monster, but I really think we're in a really good position. Like, I take my chances versus the Nets. I don't even think it'll go to Game 7. Thanks, guys.
Ooh.
Appreciate the call, Dennis. It's take.
Did I hear that he thinks that Giannis is the only guy that he's worried about? Did I hear that right?
I mean, to be fair, everyone should be a little scared of Giannis.
Very scared of Giannis. He is incredible. I mean,
hopefully their team is out of protocols by finals, but that is a good team.
By the way, I remember Mikas's question now. He asked if Clay comes back at like 80-90%, he thinks that they're as good as the KD Warriors. I disagree.
Kissa, right. You back?
Oh, sorry, guys.
There we go.
No worries.
Crap.
You're good.
It's good.
I just want to say tonight, great win. And you guys were asking this game or the Suns game. I think this game, because I think when we have Steph and Draymond, we can win against anybody, or at least we have the chance to. So I said this game. And I also just want to face the Jazz in the playoffs, because I think we're going to beat the skin off those people. They're so bad, especially against the Warriors, and it's going to be great. Also, Wiggins tonight, great game, but he has to get a rebound. No rebound? Come on now. That's like Kuminga vibes. I can't do that. also, last thing, what's his name? I think Steve Kerr deserved Coach of the Year, but I think Monty Williams is going to get it because the snapping last season by giving it to Thibodeau, he didn't deserve it.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Yeah, same probably will. I mean, New York is always so wrecked. I can't.
God, I remember that now. Anyway, keep going. That's right.
Anyway, that's all. Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it, Kissa.
That was nasty. That was nasty, huh? Yeah, Monty's a good guy. He deserves one.
She does bring up a good point. They beat the Suns with Draymond. They beat the Jazz without Draymond. I don't know. All I feel is like, you know, because Christmas feels like a bigger deal, right? Like
that's probably playing into it in my head a little bit.
I agree. By the way, the funny stuff is the rebounding. I think if there was one thing that you think may be an issue, now Draymond obviously wasn't playing, but yeah, they do have guys that Wiggins is playing a position up. Maybe sometimes he's playing three, maybe the four. He's not used to being like a primary rebounder. Kuminga is 19 years old, right? Same thing. Otto Porter Jr., your guy though. Knows for the ball defensively, reminiscent of Draymond. He wants to be down there. So good for him. Steph, obviously. He might be their second best defender. I mean, rebounder.
Wilt Porter Jr.
on the glass. Just coming through with 15 a game.
He's a big dude. He's a big dude.
He is, but I mean, Wiggins a big dude too, and he's not a rebounder. So like you know how it goes. Like you either have a nose for the glass or you don't. So I don't know. Let's get Guru back here since we missed him last time.
Hey guys. Yeah. I was looking for the unmute button, for some reason it wouldn't show up for me. So
don't worry about it. It happens.
All right, man. Well, I'm back now, and wow, what a win. That win had everything. I know this is like sort of cliche, but that win does not happen last year. But yeah, and the fact that it happened this year just goes to show, I mean, this team's they're different, right? I have one thing to say. So I have another podcast with my buddy, and we were talking about when Jordan Poole comes back from quarantine, that he should actually come off the bench to, you know, to prepare for Clay's imminent arrival back into the lineup. And I guess it goes to show Steve Kerr is, I guess, listening to us. Steve 2.0.
Coach Guru.
Yeah, Steve Kerr 2.0. what did you guys think of him coming off the bench? I'm happy because there were no Chiosa minutes. I guess that's the best part about it. But where do you think he fits in, like playing the one or the two?
I like it, Guru. I was like, Andy, were you surprised he was coming off the bench?
I was. I was. They said it was a matchup thing, which I think is just their way of being nice. I think Clay's going to be back here in a week or so. But I don't know. Like, if you're Jordan Poole, I mean, look, he started because Clay was out. He's not been great this season. He's been good, but he's also been up and down. Like, he doesn't – Like if he's in the second unit and he's running the offense as the primary ball handler, that's better for him. Unless he's someone that's confidence is going to waver because he's not starting. Like, I don't think that's the case. I think this will be fine. I think the kid's got crazy confidence. I think any position they put him in, he'll figure.
Yeah, and I think they were just playing with the matchups a little bit. Like, a little bit of free money. He's been out with COVID for, like, you know, almost 2 weeks now. And it's a little easier to be like, oh, why don't we try you coming off the bench to make sure you got your wind? Let's see how it goes. Like, end of the day, Clay's, what, he's back in maybe 8 days.
You know? Maybe two.
Maybe less.
Yeah.
And he's going to go to the bench. So, you know, sooner or later, he's going to have to get used to it.
Yeah, you know? He's going to have to do it anyway. He looked slow today, but can you blame him? 10 days in a hotel room.
That's the other part. Yeah, right? He looked like a guy who hasn't been able to play basketball for a couple of years.
10 days, like crazy. There's no way he could. And this is high-level basketball on the road in Utah. Like, he can't. It's a tough situation for him tonight.
Yes, yeah, it's not your my pickup run.
He did say Paul on a friend of the show, Grant Lisbon's pod, that the Warriors sent him a bike and some jump rope. So I guess he was doing that in the hotel room.
Sure.
really gets you basketball ready.
It's not just. Oh yeah. Just had a Peloton delivered to his hotel room.
Yeah, I think he did. Nice. Doesn't help. I guarantee you, it doesn't help.
Jam Stein, what's up, man?
What's up, guys? So you guys have talked a lot about the closing lineup. I think the biggest thing now is the best non-Steph lineup. We got a lot of options now.
Ooh, I like this question. Yeah, what's your thought?
I think I go Poole and Porter. I think we keep Draymond on the bench with Steph. So Poole, Porter, Iggy, Lee. And I don't know who else.
No Clay? Are you counting Clay?
Oh yeah, and Clay. Shit, Clay. We've got so many options. Yeah. Have a non-Steph lineup.
All right, I like this question. So I'm gonna run, by the way, appreciate the call, James Stein. So okay, so if Clay's back, you gotta assume the starting lineup is Steph, Clay, Wiggins, Draymond, and obviously the Loon God.
Obviously our guy.
So what's your best lineup without those guys? And I think it's Poole.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, Otto. We'll throw Iguodala in there. Those three are givens. I might go with GP2.
Ooh.
And am I going to do it? Am I going to throw Kuminga in there? Am I going to do it?
Okay, I think you're right. I think if Clay's there, he's going to be in that lineup. But I think you need a ball handler with Jordan Poole, a guy that's not going to turn the ball over every other possession or do something dumb. So you get Iguodala, right? And then you got Otto as a shooter. Then you add some defense with I think, Kuminga. Kuminga tonight looks incredible. By the way, Sam, I don't want to be the bad guy here, but I will. JT looks awful. Belly looks awful. Like, those guys are on the fringes of the rotation right now, and they're going to be fine. They're going to play again in the season. It's not like they're going to be benched forever. But in these situations and big, big games like this, you see the pressure, the intensity, and Jazz are a very good basketball team. Those guys should not be on the floor. And Kuminga should be on the floor. How crazy is that? That someone that young, and you see him, he's not fouling. He's actually guarding Clarkson. He's not turning the ball over. He's getting to the rim. He had a few dunks, right? Like, man, he should be out there playing instead of those two guys. And that's pretty incredible to see.
Yeah, he's a special player. I'm with you there. All right, let's keep moving. Let's get Ty up here. Ty, what's up, bro?
Yo, how y'all?
What's up, brother?
First things first, I don't want to blow up y'all's spot. When Sam was talking cash money at the beginning of the recording, I yell real loud. My girl told me I'm developing a parasocial relationship, but you know, I'm just about creators getting to the bag. So you know, if ever you decide to put the pressure, you know, Light Years and the rest of us, you know what I'm saying? We'll be along for the ride. But, I do think, between the Suns and the Jazz, it's a really interesting, examination of like the reasons that I think neither one of them are quite top tier contenders. The Jazz, I think, have a really, really potent, like, one pitch. Like, they're when their threes are falling and they're doing the drive and kick stuff, that stuff can be really potent, but their versatility is, like, sus. And then the Suns, they have incredible versatility, but they just don't quite have that top end. Like, their best play is probably either a Booker ISO with the wing cleared out, or the Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton pick and roll. But like that, they don't have the ability to put up, I don't think, you know, consistently 20-point differential quarters like I've seen the Jazz do this year. But the Jazz, the second they get into a playoff series with anybody who can exploit that Gobert thing, they're cooked. So that's kind of the reason that I think the Bucks are really like going to be difficult to beat, because they have different versatility. But also, you know, Warriors have it all. So, and if Wiseman comes back, everybody's dead. But yeah, good win. And keep on.
Appreciate it, Ty. I love the call. That's always the best. That's kind of how I feel. Like, I'm a big fan of both the Jazz and the Suns. Like, I think they're good teams. I just don't see the championship upside for the exact reasons that Ty mentions. Like, do you really think the Suns would have got to the finals if Kawhi didn't go down last year?
Well, yeah.
Be real.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like, and sorry, that's like a real injury. That's not a, you know, Jason Terry like sprained his ankle, or Jusuf Nurkić got hurt. Like, you know, the stuff that people say about the Warriors. So
I think Clippers are, maybe an argument for another day, Sam, but I think the Clippers are quite pretty overrated. They were struggling against the Mavs. They needed a lot out there to beat the Mavs, and the Mavs were
mediocre
at best. Anyway, yeah, keep it going.
I don't know. Kawhi and Ty Lue are always going to, you know, they're going to have a little, I'm going to give them a little benefit of the doubt. Maybe more than I should. Maybe more than I should.
Sure. Too many games to beat a, yeah, anyway.
But I do agree. Like, I don't know that either of those teams have the high-end upside to be title teams. Like, just, I don't know if they have enough counterpunches in either case.
That's the fear, right? Like, that's the fear with Utah, and I think Phoenix too, is that you'll live with DeAndre Ayton, whatever he does. But with Devin Booker, it's if you could find a guy that can guard Devin Booker, you're not that worried. And Devin Booker didn't play well in the NBA Finals either. Let's not forget that. So, and then the Utah Jazz, yes, you have the Gobert defensive issues. We all know that. Everybody makes fun of that. But defensively, if Donovan Mitchell isn't going to be able to get to the rim, if he's not shooting 15 free throws, what are we doing here? But you talk about the Eastern Conference. We saw what Giannis Antetokounmpo did. Drew and Chris are okay. But then we talk about the Brooklyn Nets. They got three guys that get there, which two and a half. We see what Harden looks like in the postseason. But when you talk about counterpunching, that's what it is. That's end of the day. End of the day, it's mano a mano. It's what shot can you get in front of you? And we've seen the Warriors lose one time. And that was to Kyrie Irving and LeBron. One time. And that was with a minute left in the game seven, right?
That's it. I appreciate you mentioning Kyrie first.
it's true. Like, I do wonder if those teams have the ceiling to get to it. And you know what? Like, that's the thing. Phoenix doesn't have it until Devin Booker takes it to the next level, right? And like, maybe he does. Maybe this is the year he decides to be Kyrie Irving or Steph Curry or something like that. But like, until then, I don't know. I'm gonna have my skepticism. Like, you can say the same about Donovan Mitchell. I actually think Mitchell is a bigger issue than Gobert. Mm. And I don't mean that in terms of him being a bad player. I mean, they need Mitchell to take a step as the closer that I don't know that he's capable of. Maybe he is. Maybe he is. But we'll see.
I'm with you. Watching the game tonight, I mean, they played last night, right? So he could have been a little tired. He went off last night. But this Warriors defense is different. It is different. And it takes a lot to score against. He's not Kyrie. Let's keep moving.
Ben, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. And Happy New Year. I'm doing well.
Happy New Year, man.
I have a more of a forward-thinking question, because the win on Christmas, the win tonight was pretty awesome. And I think the fact that we're, you know, what I think it's 28-7 right now, right? That is, it's pretty awesome. So my forward thinking question is, like, the All-Star break is in like 6-ish weeks. February 20th is the game. So there's like 24 games until then. What do you think the record is going into the All-Star break? Second question is, how much better is Wiggins going to get with Clay also spacing the floor?
I like it. All right, Ben, appreciate the question. Okay, so I don't want to take the record to the All-Star break because I haven't, like, I don't want to make people sit here while I, like, just crunch numbers on the schedule. But I like the Wiggins question. So let's start there. How much better do you think Wiggins is going to get?
What's Wiggins' biggest issue right now? He's making all his open three-pointers. Looks incredible. He's making the off-the-dribble mid-range jump shot now. He made him in crunch time tonight. Defensively, he's guarding the lightning quick guards, if not the forwards, and he's doing a great job. His issue is he's not making free throws. So I don't know. I don't know if Clay is solving that. Maybe Clay puts him aside and helps him shoot free throws for Sam. But I think this is maybe more efficient, maybe more volume. But I don't know if Clay actually helps that. So I think maybe what it does to me is that if Wiggins is going to play in the second unit with Jordan Poole, it might make his life easier because if Clay's out there too, then that becomes right. Then it's almost like he's playing on a starting lineup unit in the second unit against second unit defenses. Then life is going to be really easy. But I don't know if they're actually going to do that. So I think that's the only thing.
I'd almost put Wiggins with Steph and put Clay in the second unit a little bit, just because, like, I trust Clay to get those shots more without Steph than I trust Wiggins to. But, like, to the point,
I think you're right. Like, Wiggins has kind of mastered the art of playing off of Steph. I mean, relatively. Like, no one's better at it than, like, Clay and Draymond, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
They've done it for a decade. Yeah. But I think it's because Wiggins is not a guy who dominates the ball, and he's actually got very good at playing off of the ball, it's only going to get better when he does it with another guy who attracts attention. Like, we all know it doesn't matter that Clay hasn't played basketball in 2.5 years. Shit, that's a long time. Defenders are still going to throw more bodies at Clay and Steph than they do at Wiggins. And Wiggins is just going to take advantage of that. So I don't know if it's about him being better, but, like, it's going to be one of those things where it's like, you can send all those bodies at those guys and let Wiggins go, like, 8 for 10, or you can guard Wiggins and then make life easier on Steph or Clay. So, yeah.
24 games, I'll say this. I do think the Warriors are still going to be in first place by the time the All-Star break comes around. They haven't even been playing that well lately. I'm waiting for the Steph explosion when I think it coincides with Clay coming back.
All right, we can give Manny a try here. Manny, what's up, man?
Oh, shit. What's up, guys?
How's it going, man?
Not much. I don't have a question. I just have a general comment or just a shout-out. I want to shout-out generational defensive player Rudy Gobert for holding the Warriors to 123 points. Insane. Zero block. He really dictated what the Warriors did in crunch time. It's crazy. No one could get into it. Instead, they were just blowing space off in the perimeter. Like, Iggy of all people did that, but whatever. I know you guys did a segment, I don't know, I want to say it was like a week or so ago, and it was like, who are the most hated people by Warriors fans? And of course, LeBron and Chris Paul topped that list, but I think Gobert is like a dark horse for third. Just because how does this have D-Poys over fucking Draymond? Like, that does not even make sense. The media slurps this guy like Spotify slurps that Everly dude over you guys. You know what I mean? Plus, that dude gave everyone COVID in the league and got licked with that fake ring. It's like, I'm over it. That's all I got. But all right, later, guys.
Appreciate you, Manny. Appreciate you.
You know, I think that not a lot of fan bases like Gobert, man. I just don't think people like him. He's not a likable guy outside of Utah fans. Really
not
isn't.
A lot. Other Luke, yo, what's up, man?
Yo, happy New Year's from Australia.
What's up, brother?
Might have COVID, but it's good to
see you.
Anyways, I have a couple of questions. Firstly, you guys did a podcast about your New Year's resolutions for the team. Do you have any of yourself? And the second one would be Joku is doing amazing. Like, we can all agree on that. His development is just it's amazing. Anyways, I go back to thinking about Pat McCaw and how he played some minutes during the playoffs.
Mm.
Can you see Joku playing those minutes, and would Steve Kerr trust him?
Ooh, I like the call there, Luke. Appreciate it.
Ooh. Andy, do you have a resolution?
I do. I do have one. I do have one. I'll go one. You got to go with one too. Mine's is always the same, year in, year out for the past 8 years. Stop drinking so much, man. I think I'm converting a little more to wine lately. I think I'm trying to lay off the hard liquor. So, a little less alcohol, a little more Peloton this year.
Okay, mine's advocate for the light years pod more. just gotta advocate a little harder.
You already did that. You already started the year off strong an hour ago when we started the pod. So there you go.
All right, we're gonna end it there. Appreciate everyone who checked in. Sorry to everyone we didn't get to tonight.